As a pastor, one of the number one things that I have seen cause people to leave a church is when they feel like their gifts are not utilized. They can't find a place where they fit and are adding value. And I've thought to myself, why is this such a big deal? Well, it's such a big deal because the gifts God put inside of us are connected to our sense of purpose, our sense of destiny, and living for a purpose that is bigger than ourselves. It's actually really important, and it's part of how God wired us. And so in today's episode, I'm diving in with Kristen Clark, a former guest, on how to discover your spiritual gifts and how to nurture and cultivate them. So, and actually even how to help nurture and cultivate them in your children. So I created a special resource that is in the show notes. It's a free download, and I'm really excited about it, actually. I went through the scripture, found every spiritual gift that's listed in scripture, and so it's organized by what passage it's found in. And then under each spiritual gift, there is 5 major bullet points for how you can take action to develop that gift in your life. It is a super cool resource. And then I also put a couple other tools in there, a link back to this episode. So if you want to share it with someone, you can. A link back to this episode and a discount if, let's say, one of your spiritual gifts is communication, teaching, encouragement, anything that causes you to want to have a voice into the world, which most people do, then you actually get a discount to my coaching program. If you decide, I want to start a podcast and I want Jen to be my coach, there is a $200 discount included in that freebie that I created for you guys. So it's a gift that keeps giving. You're going to want to get that. It's in the show notes. And then I believe my guest also has something for you that I'm going to be dropping in the show notes for you as well. So this episode is super loaded, super practical, super encouraging, and is going to fuel you with a sense of purpose. Let's jump in.
Hi, you're listening to Java with Jen with your host, Jenna Lee Samuel. On this show, I bring the simplicity of hearing God's voice into everyday life in a no-nonsense, authentic, and super practical way. With coffee in hand and real life in our faces, let's do this.
Okay, I'm really pumped for you guys to get into this episode. And since we're talking about spiritual gifts, I actually want to invite you to an online, a totally free spiritual gifts conference that I'm actually going to be a contributing speaker to. I'm speaking on how to steward your gifts. And this is a free conference that I was invited to be a part of. It's all online. It's going to be taking place in early February. So if you would like to register, I'm going to drop the link in the show notes below. Let's say, you know, discovering your spiritual gifts and diving deeper in what God has put inside of you. If that's something that excites you, that you want to dive into, especially for 2024, then this would be a really great conference to be a part of. So I'm going to put that link in the show notes below. You can check it out. Feel free to share that link with any friends who you think might want to participate with you. And then you guys can, you know, go through it together, talk about it together, whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, you guys, listen, Linda, you guys know my show is built around the premise of coffee, but I have shared a few times about this, this little elixir, if you will, that helps if you are sensitive to coffee and the caffeine in coffee. It is this beautiful product that I recently discovered that has helped me. And listen, guys, just plug your ears for a moment. Ladies, I was on this for 2 weeks, and my period that I had right after being on it was so much easier. Like, I had been getting anxious because my periods were so intense, and I really think it calmed my periods and made them way less traumatizing. So, total perks to this product. It is called Magic Mind. And what it is, it's essentially green tea or matcha that is mixed with a number of other natural ingredients that help with mental performance, the longevity of caffeine in your system. Because of the way that the matcha burns in your system, you don't have a caffeine crash. It's like a slow release. And so if you drink it alongside your coffee, you actually get a longer impact from the caffeine even in your coffee. And then it has ashwagandha and other not nootropics. It does have nootropics, but ashwagandha is a, what's it called? It helps calm your system and it helps you manage stress. Adaptogen, that's the word. It's an adaptogen and it helps you calm your stress and manage stress. I went through a very stressful season the last few weeks and I was totally chill through the whole thing. The nootropics that are in it, like lion's mane mushroom and cordyceps mushrooms and a few other things, help you with mental focus and help rebuild the neurons in your brain. Listen, this stuff is amazing. And so you can, they gave me a discount code for you guys. If you decide to subscribe to get this product on a regular, you can save 50% with my code. So 50%, amazing. If you want to try it once, you can save 20% with my code. If you want to go try it just in person, you can get it at Sprouts after January 10th, 2024. It'll be in the store so you can try it. It's called Magic Mind. It's a little tiny drink shot. It's like 2 ounces. And if you go to magicmind.com/JavaWithJen, magicmind.com/JavaWithJen, and use my code JWJ20, you can save the savings that I just mentioned. And so it's magicmind.com/JavaWithJen with the code JWJ20, and you can save those different amounts. I recommend trying it. If you're sensitive to caffeine or you have to drink decaf coffee or you're trying to just keep your stress levels down or, you know, protect the health of your heart, this product was actually made for you type of people. And as I like coffee, I'm trying to, you know, think about my stress levels as well. And so it's just really great. It helps your body in so many ways. Go check it out, magicmind.com/JavaWithJen, JWJ20. Also, if you want to do the Spiritual Gifts Conference, that's in February. It's free, it's online. Grab the link below. And for anybody who has left me reviews online, I want to say thank you so much. The 5-star ratings, bless my soul. The reviews you guys leave, words of affirmation, is my love language. So they particularly hit me deeply and I just love and appreciate them. And then don't forget to get the freebie that I've made available for you guys also in the show notes on how to little action steps on how you can develop your spiritual gifts. So lots of good things coming in today's episode. Go check out Magic Mind. Go check out the conference. Go check out the freebie. All the links are in my show notes. Okay, let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode here at Java with Jen. I have a beautiful, precious, sweethearted guest back again who has come on the show before. Her name is Kristen Clark, and she has her own podcast, which is actually geared towards kids, which I love because, hey, let's start podcast listeners from an early age, teach them how to crave wisdom. And so Kristen so graciously decided to come back on my show after I extended the invitation. So Kristen, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. This is so fun.
Absolutely. And so let's see, I want to dive into this topic. You shared an incredible quote with me about spiritual gifts. And that's where we're going to go in today's episode is spiritual gifts is an important part of our lives as believers. But unless someone is guided through discovering what their gifts are, some people will accidentally stumble upon them and operate in them and not even realize it's their spiritual gift they're operating in. Sometimes, you know, some people will take tests and figure it out, but then maybe not always know how it actually will show up in their life. And so we're going to kind of unpack this whole topic of spiritual gifts. And towards the end, we're going to teach you, the listeners, about some simple ways that you can help your kids begin to discover and exercise their spiritual gifts as well. So Kristen, why don't you tell us just a little bit about how this got on your radar, and then you can share with us that beautiful quote that you had shared with me.
I'd love to. So first of all, I just completed my master's degree from seminary. And so I've just been like, theology has just been dumped in my brain for the past 3 years. And so
I love it.
I've got so much, I got to get it out. But I love that it's been a huge part of my podcast without realizing it. And each guest that I have on has shared, you know, I was just doing this thing and I realized this is my purpose, or I was so passionate about this my whole life. And then all of a sudden I get to use that passion towards my career or towards how I serve the Lord. And so it was just kind of this thing that kept resonating that God doesn't waste anything in our life. He gives us all these circumstances and experiences to guide us into what it is he wants us to do, not just what he wants us to do in the future, but right now. now. And so I think there's a lot of people that are missing out on how they can serve the Lord in their full capacity because they've never really thought about what their spiritual gift is and how to operate in that. And the Bible tells us that we all have at least one. There are some people that might have more than one, but we at least all have one that we are given when we receive Christ as our Savior, when we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's immediately when God starts working through us, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us working through us. And that's what our spiritual gift is.
That's amazing. I love it. So now my husband actually had taught me a few years back, which he's a theologian as well, which is a really great checks and balances for me. And so he had talked about how there's actually three different sets of gifts that we're given. The Father gives us gifts, Jesus gives us gifts, and the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And so there's different sets of gifts. Now, when the Father gives us gifts, those are gifts given at birth that are very natural to us and that we do instinctively. Maybe you're really great, like a musician or something, or maybe you're really great. You have an engineering mind or whatever. Those are the gifts that God builds into us when we're born. And then Christ gives us gifts, which is in Ephesians 4, where it talks about the fivefold ministry and the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And they say those are Christ's gifts to the church, meaning he's like, hey, here's those who are going to mentor and lead you and guide you and help grow and mature you. And so those are, Christ is our older brother. And those are essentially, they're kind of like our older siblings in the faith, if you will. And then you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit that come in when we are born again, like Kristen is talking about. And those are different gifts that maybe you can get into and describe what those, some of those can look like. But I think that a lot of times the gifts the Father gives us at birth that are natural to our personality and whatever, they work in tandem with the gifts that the Holy Spirit will stir up in us when we get saved. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think there's many things that we have as a part of us that make us unique and special. And so it's discouraging to me when people say, oh, there's plenty of people doing that, you know, or I don't need to say anything or do anything here because somebody's already done that. Well, no, you have a very specific set of experiences and natural abilities and talents that God's put in you and working in tandem with that gift, that spiritual gift. And the purpose of the gift is to build the kingdom. So your gift is not just what you're if you're really great at painting, that's amazing. And God can use that, but he wants to use that to build the kingdom. So when we're using our spiritual gifts, that's when we're really working in with what our purpose is. So if we're just doing the thing that we're doing, but it's for our own glory, then we're not really getting to benefit from all these spiritual blessings because of how we, like you were saying, working in tandem with our natural gifts.
Yeah, that's so good. So can you list out what the spiritual gifts are that people might experience? Now, here, I'll preface it with this. There are gifts listed in scripture. I do believe personally that there are many more gifts than just what we see there, simply by observation of people and the way I've seen God use people and whatever. But there are some like main core ones that maybe a lot of the extra ones can fall in those categories or whatever. But then I think some of the extra stuff we see, like when someone has a gift for dance, you know, that's not in scripture, but you can see some people are just gifted for that. Right. And so I think some of those are the gifts that God gives us at birth. So this is not, I don't feel like an exhaustive list, but it is definitely fundamental.
Yeah. So when I was studying for one of my exams that had to do with these passages, the epistles, the Pauline epistles, and well, First Peter's in there too. But so my professor said, remember 4:4:12:12. Okay. So if you want to find the scriptures that list out the spiritual gifts, remember 4:4:12. So Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Those are the main passages where we learn about the spiritual gifts. And so these are all the spiritual gifts from those passages. So there's administration, apostle, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, helps, interpreting tongues, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, shepherding, speaking in tongues, teaching, and wisdom. Now, what's interesting, what you just said, and I agree with, that all of these gifts are listed in these four passages, but not every single passage that is listed here doesn't list all of these gifts. So they're kind of scattered throughout, which to me suggests, and my professor agrees, that there are probably more spiritual gifts that we're not that were not listed here. And I think the purpose of these lists, when they're listing it out, like, here's some ideas of what we think these might be, or what the Holy Spirit has told us, and we're going to write this down. And so we get this list from gleaning from scripture, what these gifts are. And I agree with you. I think there's other things that people can do. There's other people in the Bible that had gifts that God gave them, specific things they could do. And that's not listed in here, but God used that person, and God was with that person as they used their spiritual gifts in different ways. So like I said before, whatever your spiritual gift is, it's for edifying and building up the kingdom. And so if that is how you're exercising it, and it's not one of these lists, it might, like you said, it might be close to it, but it is going to be a part of that in some way.
Okay. So the next natural question people are going to be thinking, which while you guys are thinking this, I want you to know, I'm going to find a really good spiritual gifts test and drop the link in the show notes. So after you listen to this episode, if you're like, I want to figure out what my gifts are, you can go try that, and it'll give you a good starting point to maybe get an idea of how you operate. But how can people discover what their spiritual gifts are just by observing their life and being familiar with themselves?
Well, I found this quote. We talked about this earlier. I found this quote by a guy named Jim George. He's an author. And he said, to start where you are, do anything you can do, and do everything you can do until you find something you must do. And that something is probably your spiritual gift.
Okay, I'm going to have you read that again, maybe slowly, so we can pause on each phrase, because each phrase is loaded.
It's so loaded. I know. It's I love it. I was like, oh, that's the best ever. So he said, start where you are, do anything you can do, and do everything you can do until you find something you must do. And that something is probably your spiritual gift.
That's so good. That's worth putting on the wall. I might put that on the wall. Okay. So start where you are. I love that, because even in business, when they're like, when you're trying to figure out what you're doing, or even with my podcasting, when I'm coaching podcasters, they'll be like, I don't know what to have a podcast about. Or you want to start a business, and you're like, I don't know what business to start. They always say, start with what's in your hands. Start where you are. Start with what's in front of you. And so how is that relevant in our spiritual gifts? What would that look like?
So I think I love, there's a pastor in North Carolina, J.D. Greer. He says, if you want to figure out what your spiritual gift is, start at the church. Like, that's the best place to practice your gift. That's the best place to exercise your gift. And it's the best place to begin serving. So if you've never served at your church, if you always attended and got really good things out of it, and then you walk to your car, you are missing out on one of the best opportunities to be a part of the kingdom and to exercise and make mistakes. And, you know, like, you could get in there with a kids ministry and be like, this is not my jam. These people don't like me. And so I need to figure out something else, and that's okay. But you can practice. And so it's starting where you are. And it's not just about location. I think it's with what you have already, like what's in your hands. Mm-hmm. What are you capable of? What do you love doing? Like, if you love writing, start writing as a way to serve the Lord. Start writing in your worship, or in your devotion time. If you feel like you're supposed to be a worship leader and you're like, I'm not on the team and I don't know, start taking lessons, start offering to help out with different things behind the scenes on the worship team. Mm-hmm. I love Joyce Meyer said one time, if you feel like you're supposed to be a worship leader, start leading worship in your family. She said, if you don't have a family, lead your cat in worship. Like, so just start, lead yourself in worship. Just begin to do the thing that you feel like God wants you to do. And I think as you begin that process, you're going to discover more and more about what God wants to do with that.
That's so good. And it's kind of like, as we watch our kids, you know, like with my kids growing up, as they've been growing, I, as a parent, of course, I want to come alongside of and breathe life into what their gifts are. And the way I started to clue into their gifts is I just started paying attention to what are the things that they are just drawn to, that they just keep finding themselves kind of magnetically going towards. Like, one of my kids is guitar. He's obsessed and he's wonderful. Another one is also in music, in drums, and in computer. Like, he's very like digitally inclined. Another one is basketball. He's really good at it and takes it really seriously, but he's also a leader and really good at like helping his peers in class if they're struggling. He has a very natural teaching gift. And then my other one, he's very creative and imaginative, and he can create something out of nothing. He has an engineering mind, and math and science are his best subjects. And so sometimes in life, finding our gifts, I feel like, is almost like a scavenger hunt where you're picking up on clues. And I remember one time I watched 700 Club, and this was huge for me. They said, you know, in life, we shouldn't just do what we're passionate about, because your passions can change depending on what you're exposed to. But you need to do what your gifts are. And the way you discover what your gifts are is by looking at what do you do the most naturally, very easily, with the least amount of effort. Mm-hmm. So what do you do the most naturally and the most easily with the least amount of effort? And for me, that's communication. Like, it's not hard for me to articulate a thought, communicate something, take something that's complicated and turn it into something I can teach somebody. But I've learned that over my life, and people around me have called that out. And that's actually another way that people can identify their gifts, is pay attention to what are the things that people around you have called out about you that they say, you're so natural at that, you're so good at that. Or they come to you and say, can you do this for me? You're so good at this. Would you, is that how your journey was?
Yeah, for sure. Because I think when we are doing the thing we're naturally inclined to do, or the thing that it just comes like so easily to us, it takes no effort, and people probably see it in us more than we see it in ourselves.
Yeah.
So like, I remember we did, when I was on a church staff years ago, we did a spiritual gift assessment, and we were talking through, and I had we talked through like our top three. Mm-hmm. And one of mine was teaching. And I had never considered myself a teacher because the definitions were like, they love to study and they love to. And what I knew about myself was when I learned something, I immediately want to go tell someone. Like, I just learned this, I'm going to tell you right now. Part of that is because I love to be an outward processor. Like, I like to talk through the things I'm learning about, but I was like, I don't feel like I am a teacher. And I wasn't in a position at that church where I was teaching. Like, I wasn't preaching, I wasn't doing Sunday school lessons or anything like that. I was very much behind the scenes. Yeah. And one of the other staff ladies said to me, no, you are a teacher, because you are so focused on what scripture says, and you want people to learn it, and you want them to understand it, and you won't let it go. And I'm like, that's true. You've got to get this point, and you've got to understand it to the fullest. And so I think it's so good when we have those people that can reflect back to us what it is. And so I encourage anyone who feels remotely like a mentor, if you see something in someone else, speaking life over that person and saying, you know what, I see this in you, and I think it's incredible, especially with kids and teenagers. If you can see something in them and say it to them, they might go, oh, okay, whatever, dude, you know, like, they might not absorb it at that moment, but you have no idea the impact your words can mean to them. So say that, like, let people know what you see.
You know, it's so true. I'm so glad you said that, because I still remember when I was in high school, we were doing a fundraiser for a missions trip. And part of the fundraiser was we filmed this little funny thing that they played in church. And I was pretending to be a reporter. And so I was like, okay, and so we're interviewing blah, blah, blah. And so I did this whole thing. And I remember when I watched it, I was like, dude, I did so bad at that. But I still remember, I don't even remember their face, but I remember their words. And someone came up to me afterwards and they go, Jenna Lee, you were so good at that. I think that's something you're very natural at. And I was like, okay, you know, but it wasn't on my radar to like go be a reporter, you know. But now I look at my life and I'm like, I'm a podcaster. That's literally what I do every day.
Yeah,
I interview people. And so they were seeing things in me that were going to come out later that I had no radar for.
Absolutely.
So let's go into that next part of the quote, do anything that you can. And I want to go back to the point that you made about serving at church, because I think people don't realize, especially when your church is calling for volunteers, say they need volunteers in children's department or in security or in hospitality or setting up for events or greeters or a cleanup crew, whatever it is, whenever they call for volunteers, that is an opportunity for people to get a little uncomfortable and figure out what their gifts are. And especially if you know your gifts, it's a really great way to exercise them. Usually people know their gifts, they tend to already want to use them. But that is how I discovered my gifts. That is literally how I learned what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And I don't regret a single moment that I volunteered at church, because it brought so much understanding. So elaborate on that second part of that quote, do anything you can.
So my husband is a sound engineer. He's done sound since he was a kid. Like, he started working in the sound booth. He does not like to be on stage. He likes to be behind the scenes, and he's incredible at it. Like, he travels the world now doing that for different corporations and Disney and all these different things. So he definitely has a gift in that. But I remember there was a time early on in our marriage where we wanted to serve in the church. We wanted to get involved, but it was, he really wanted to do sound. Like, he's like, that's what I'm good at. I did it at the other church. Well, they didn't have an opening for that, but they asked him to be on parking team. And I remember him be like, this is not what I want to do. But he got out there and he did it. And through that, he was able to meet other people. Through that, he was able to learn to serve and to be under leadership, or, you know, so there's different things we can benefit from serving, even if it's not the lane or the calling we feel like. I remember a friend of mine, he feels like he's supposed to do this big, you know, conference for couples. And so he went to his pastor and he was like, I really want to serve in this way. And the pastor said, let's start with a couple's Sunday school class. Like, let's start with what you have right now. And so we may have these visions and dreams for ourselves that might come to fruition at some point, but don't neglect the small things. Don't neglect the small steps, not because we're trying to be over spiritual or overly humble. That's not the point. The point is to learn and to grow and to connect with other believers in that same area. So I think that's just so important to do whatever you can do. It might not be the thing you love. It might not be the thing that you're able, but, you know, for moms, especially for new moms who have little kids at home, you have a very limited time frame that you can serve. And so the ways you might want to serve might have to be within that very limited nap time or church childcare time, whatever. But just getting involved in serving, even if it's just for 20 minutes or it's just like between services, just any way you can to connect with other people and serve alongside others, I think that'll really help illuminate more about what your spiritual gift is.
Yes. And I want to call out right there, because I used to be of the mindset when I was young and I had all these big ambitions that doing those menial things or volunteering in those ways that feel like, oh, this isn't what I'm after, you know, I used to feel like that was almost like you got to pay your dues. You know what I mean? Almost like it was, you got to prove that you're faithful. But now how I view it, because I've seen the Lord uses that model in every area of my life. So now even in business and podcasting, for example, like the longer I've been podcasting, it started as one-on-one interviews over my computer by myself in my bedroom, you know, or in my office like this. Very low risk. There's not a lot of harm that can be done in these one-on-one conversations. So then later, as these skills are developed in low risk situations, then they're instinctive when I get larger opportunities. And so the risk factor is less, which I see as the kindness of the Lord, because,
oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like if you have a doctor in training, they're in school, they're going to put you carefully on the minor situation. That's why in clinicals, they have them just changing out bedpans and, you know, doing the low risk tasks while you're learning the industry and all the things that there are to learn. And just because we have a vision for what we want to do, big marriage conferences or preach like Lisa Bevere or whatever, when you have a big vision, it starts in those changing the bedpans and doing those tiny little menial things that feel like a waste, but it's the kindness and the safety of the Lord that he's having you learn in low risk situations. So the skills are built in so that when a bigger demand is placed, you're more likely to succeed at it.
Absolutely. The scripture passages that tell us in Genesis about Joseph, when he was a very young man, God told him he was going to be very high stature and his whole family is going to bow to him.
Yeah.
And when we look at the story of Joseph, I think it's really easy for us to focus on his spiritual gift of interpreting dreams. He got to do that in many situations, but I think his real spiritual gift was administration, because where he, as soon as he was put into the jail or into Potiphar's house, he was immediately given managerial responsibilities. And he was in charge of the whole household. He was in charge of all the jailer, I mean, all the prisoners in the jail. And he even ran some logistics with his family, like with his brothers when he had to go out to the field and check on them. So I think we miss out on, we think our big thing is going to be this amazing miraculous thing that might happen one or two times. But the real thing we're going to do is the stuff that just comes out of us no matter what. When we walk into a place and we're immediately given this responsibility and we're like, where did this come from? God might be trying to tell you something like, yes, this is amazing that you got to do this interpretive dream thing, but hey, I want you to run this household first. Yeah. And I want you to learn how to run logistics, because that's what Joseph did to save his people and to save the people of Egypt. Was he was able to logistically run this whole country and save them from famine. So like you said, you never know, like doing those little things, it's going to come out of you and you're like, wow, I did that really fast. And someone over here is struggling, but I'm able to help them and do my own job. Okay, I think God's trying to do something here.
Yes, that's a good clue that that's your strength. Okay, let's go back to your quote. Start where you are. Read the whole thing again because we're working our way through it.
Yeah, so we talked about start where you are, then do anything you can do. And then it says, and do everything you can do. And so I think for this point, we really need to, it's not just about what's in your job description, you know, like there's that whole like mantra, like stay in your lane. And I think that's good for business to a degree, but I think people that succeed are also willing to do above and beyond what their job description is. And so I think that applies to in the kingdom of God, when we are given a response. Yes, I love teaching and I love exhorting people. I feel like exhortation is my gift to encourage and motivate and coach. I love that part of what I get to do. But I'm not above picking up trash and I'm not above, I think someone said this, I don't remember who, like, if you see something, then that might be your calling to do, fill in that moment. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're in a situation where you're the only person in the room and you see someone that's hurting and there's another woman that's across the building and she's way better at helping this person, but you're standing in front of them. Yeah. Maybe that's God telling you, I need you to work out your spiritual gift in a different way. And I need you to go serve this person here. So I think we do everything that's in front of us. If you see something that needs to get fixed and you're willing to roll up your sleeves, I think that speaks volumes about your character as well as what God wants to do through you. And he's going to notice that even if no one else does.
Absolutely.
I love the story of Truett Cathy, who started Chick-fil-A. You know, he, for his entire life, even after retirement, if he ever walked into a Chick-fil-A building, the first thing he did before he spoke to anyone, before he met the managers, before anything, he took out the trash. And he did that every single time because he wanted people to see there is no position that's higher that they can't do the little task. So I think that's just, we do everything that's in front of us, no matter if it's our calling or our gift or not.
Yeah. You know, I have a very real life story that goes with that. The other day I went to the post office. Can we all just take a moment of silence to cry for the post office? Yes. So I went to the post office and I was, you know how like we have a P.O. box for our ministry. And so I went in the P.O. box and it had the yellow card that's like, hey, you have a package. Go wait at the door for your package. So there's two clerks waiting on people and the line is really long. So thankfully I don't have to wait in that line. I go wait in front of this door and I ring the doorbell. And that tells whoever's back in the back, hey, someone's here who needs to pick up a package. I ring the doorbell. I wait for 5 minutes. I ring the doorbell. I wait for 10 minutes. I keep ringing the doorbell. And these two clerks over here, they can hear the doorbell, but they're just tending to their people, right? And then nobody's coming to the door. And so finally, I hear someone unlocking the door and she comes out and she's got this big like basket on wheels. And I'm like, oh, thankfully someone's helping me. And I was like, okay, hey. So, and she just like looks at me and she's like, I'm just getting mail. And she pushes past me, ignores me, and like goes to get the mail out of the drop box. And I was like, okay, I've been here for 20 minutes. Everybody that works here is aware that I'm here and waiting, and no one has offered any guidance, any direction, any anything. So I finally, when the person leaves her counter, I looked over and I said, hey, is there a magic button I'm supposed to push to like get some help with this? Like, what am I supposed to do? And she goes, oh, I don't think anyone's here that takes care of those right now. And I'm like, I'm standing 10 feet from you and you've seen me and you've heard the doorbell and you didn't bother to say, hey, no one's here, get in line. And so I'm sitting there and I was like, seriously, I was like, so nobody can help me. She goes, let me go look. And so she goes to the back. Mind you, she has access to the things I don't have access to. She goes to the back and she comes back out and she goes, there's nobody back there that can get your package right now. And I'm thinking, you work here. Why just can't you get my package? You know? And so I was like she's spending more energy telling me no than she is solving the problem. And so finally I was like, so what do I do? I'm just standing there. I'm like, what do I do? And so finally the guy next to her goes, just come here. I'll help you. And I was like, thank you. So I stood there for 25 minutes and the point being, none of them went above and beyond. None of them even bothered to communicate a solution to me. The lady who came out the door didn't try to help me solve my problem. Like, nobody went above and beyond. And my thought when I stood there, both as a boss, like I'm a boss of my own business, I thought, I would never hire somebody like this. Now, the guy who helped me, I would probably hire him. He took enough ownership to go the extra mile. And even though it wasn't in his lane, he helped me solve my problem because he still represents the company. So anyways, all that to say, you're right. Go there is something to be said for staying in your lane so that it doesn't bring confusion within the business of you trying to do someone else's job. And that can bring confusion. But when you have the ability to go above and beyond in the simple ways, do the extra thing, do everything that you can.
Absolutely. And I want to say this too, because I know there's people out there, that like they don't like the word everything, because they're like, okay, I gotta do everything, and they feel that as a weight put on them. And I don't want that to be the message, that you have to do everything. It's do everything that you can do, and so whatever is in front of you, that's what God is calling you, or maybe that's your job to network someone else in, or to bring someone along to say, I'm not capable of this, but I know I can bring someone with me and they can help with this. So don't feel the stress and the weight of feeling like you have to do all the things. That's not the point. The point is to just make sure that you're available to do whatever it is that's in front of you.
I love that you called that out, because my brain went there as well. You know, my husband is really good at, if he's not able to do something that someone is asking him for, he won't just tell them no. He says, I can't do that, but I know somebody who can. And he'll still connect them to a solution. And I've learned that by watching him, it still creates the experience for people that he's serving them. And I feel like that's such a valuable way to respond to people. Because you're right, we can't do everything. But when you can do what's in front of you to take care of it. Okay, so what's the rest of that quote?
So it says, start where you are, do anything you can do, and do everything you can do until you find something you must do. So I think this is where the illumination happens, right? Mm-hmm. This is where we're like, and I don't think the illumination happens maybe the first time you do it. It might be the 12th or 13th that you're like,
true.
I keep getting in these positions or I keep serving in this way. And then they move me to this spot, you know? Uh-huh. So I think it's really fun and also kind of confusing for a moment when we're like, why do I keep pushing this out there? You know, like there's lots of tests out there, not just for spiritual gifts, but personality. And I did one called Strength Finders. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with that. And one thing that my top one, like it was like astronomically higher than others, was Maximizer. And I read the description and I'm like, that is so me. But that's something I've been beating myself up about for a long time. Because when I see a situation, all I want to do is, how can we make this better next time? And I know there might be some maturity in that to say, like, let's make sure we're saying this in love and whatever. But it's so obviously in front of me. Okay, next time we do this, we need to change this and this and move this around. And I've always been in that mindset and then felt bad about myself that I'm being so critical and I'm not being in the moment. I'm not enjoying what we're doing. So to find out that was a strength was just amazing to learn about that. That's been something my whole life I've struggled with. And now I'm like, oh, that was a good thing. I shouldn't have been up beating myself up about it. So I think that also falls in line with exhortation, because I thought exhortation was like encourager. So like, you're just encouraging. And I do that. Like, I'll tell any stranger, I like their nail color. I like your shirt. I like, you know, like I'm always trying to see things in other people, even if I don't know them, which is to the embarrassment sometimes of my kids, but because I'll go out of my way and be like, I like your shirt from across the theater. Like, the movie started, ma'am, please be quiet. But but it's not always about exhorting in just a positive light. Sometimes it's encouraging that person to move forward or encouraging someone to maturity or to better themselves or to improvement. And so to find out that that's what I've been doing this whole time was encouraging people to improve. It's not a weakness, it's a strength. And I need to lean into that and allow God to use that. And so just when you're in that moment where God illuminates the thing, just relish that moment and be like, okay, now it's all coming together. Now I understand. And so like you talked about before, those assessments, they're a great starting point for discovering what you already have, what you already know about yourself. Mm-hmm. And then I would definitely encourage you, if you ever have a situation where you're taking one of these tests, do it in your small group, or do it mm-hmm. with a group of friends, close friends that you can trust, that are on that same wavelength of following Jesus and pursuing uh-huh. their purpose. And then you guys just speak life into each other and say, yes, I see that in you. Or, you know what? I think this one's really strong in you because of this and this. And letting those other people speak over you what those things are, I think that's really helpful.
That is so good. And you brought up like four ideas in my mind at one time. Okay, I'm going to try not to forget that. But I want to call out what you said, because I remember when I went to Bible school, and it was a leadership school, and one thing that they said that broke so much shame off of me and frustration with myself off of me was when they said, you know, your greatest weaknesses are usually your greatest strengths out of balance. Mm. And so like every strength that we have, being an exhorter, the flip side, when it's out of balance or when we're in a bad mood, it can come out as being critical, right? Mm-hmm. Or people right. who are prophetic, oftentimes like their mouth is their vehicle and their weapon of anointing. They'll probably also have to deal with making sure they're not in gossip. Like they might struggle with gossip because they're still naturally going to want to talk, you know? Mm-hmm. And so yeah. people who are, you know, analytical, they have to make sure that it doesn't keep them from being able to emotionally and empathetically connect with people. And right. so paying attention that, okay, what are my greatest weaknesses? They're probably also connected to your greatest strengths. And so being able to recognize like those areas where maybe you've been beating yourself up your whole life, ask yourself like, is this actually a strength potentially if I use it the mm-hmm. right way? And so I love that you called that out. So another thing I wanted to mention, when you mentioned like, hey, people can do this in their small group, an exercise that we've done before in groups that is very encouraging and can be very enlightening is where you take a piece of paper and you write the person's name across the top, and you like fold it accordion style, like you kind of bend it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until it's like a, like if you were to fold it out, it's like a big zigzag, you know? And so mm-hmm. you collapse it, and then the people, you pass it around the room of people where all they can see is the name at the top. And then you find whatever is like the next opening that doesn't have any writing on it. And you write, what are the qualities that you see in that person the most? Because you don't want to see what other people have written. You just want to be able to see a blank piece of page and whoever's name is at the top. And mm-hmm. you write, what are the things I see in you? Or what are the top things I see about you? And when you write those things down and it gets passed all the way around the room, and when it gets back to the person who owns that paper and they unfold it and they look at all these qualities that people see in them, it is so eye-opening. And it for some people, it's very healing and brings a huge breakthrough.
I love that. Yeah.
And it's so powerful because like we said earlier, oftentimes other people recognize our gifts before we ever do, and they can call it out. And that's one simple way to do that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's steer this into how can we do this with our kids? And what does that have to do with the book that you just wrote?
Well, I feel like I'm probably still working on it forever. It might take years. Who knows? But I started doing this thing where I just was coming up with content to put on social media and different things like that. And you know, whenever you do something like that and you feel you have to condense it, like you have to keep it under a minute and you want something that just bite size that people can grab onto, and it wouldn't condense. You know what I mean? Like it was like, once I got it, it kept getting bigger and bigger. So this is, there is no junior Holy Spirit. So whatever that spiritual gift, test or whatever, the things that you discover about yourself, your child has that as well. If they have a relationship with Christ. So if they've received, Christ as their savior and they have the Holy Spirit, they have the same Holy Spirit. They have the adult version, there's not a kid version of the Holy Spirit. And yeah. So if we know that is true and we remember who God is and how powerful the Holy Spirit is, then we have to start as parents to encourage our kids to exercise their spiritual gifts and to learn what they are. And I don't think the goal is to tell them what their spiritual gift is. So you might speak life and your kids say, I see you doing this and this and this, but you don't know. That might just be something else that God's doing in them to bring them to discovering later. So we're just helping them discover. So I think most importantly is if you are exercising your spiritual gift and they can see you in service to the Lord, that's going to be a huge way for kids to learn. Also, making sure they have a really good biblical foundation. So whether that's Christian school, getting them involved in church, having a family Bible time of some kind, or just having conversations about faith and discipleship, that's going to be huge. And then getting your kids involved in things that are going to help them discover what their natural talents are. Even if that's sports and music and drama and dance and all of those things, giving them those opportunities to meet new people, to have other people pour into your child. I think that's so important. And even to go through hard situations, don't prevent your kids from going through everything that's really complicated. That's actually going to hinder them more than it's going to help them. So allowing them to go through those tough situations and things like that. And then I think too, just making sure that you're speaking over them and telling them the things you see in them, because that's going to be so important for anyone's growth, and especially your kids. They're going to remember the things that you tell them. So I think those are some great ways. And I also believe that a family that serves together is going to really be, that's going to be crucial for your kids to learn together as a family. We're serving, we're jumping in whenever the church asks us to help out. We are picking up trash off the side of the road. We are making Operation Christmas Child boxes together, all those different things that you can do as a family. That's going to be a great way for your kids to learn more about how they can serve and have a purpose.
That's so good. I love that you said that your kids will remember what you say about them. And this is a double-edged sword, because if you're not careful what you're saying about your kids, they will remember what you say about them. If you are careful what you're saying about your kids, they will remember what you say about them. And so I remember when my youngest son was young, and I saw this so plainly. And I remember he had like gone, when we were building our house, he would bring trash from the house back to where we were staying, and he would like build something out of it. So he'd get wood scraps and whatever. And he goes, "Mom, come look at what I built." And I walk in there and I can tell. He goes, "Mom, look, it's an amphitheater. I built an amphitheater, and here's where the audience is, and here's where this is." Like, he just brought trash and he built an amphitheater. I was like, "What the heck?" And then another time he pulled trash and he went in the backyard and he built a scale model of the backyard. And he was like, "Look, I built the backyard in a smaller version." I was like, he was like five. I was like,
wow,
that's not totally normal, you know? And so I remember telling him, "Buddy, that's really creative. You're so creative." And then every person who met my son for the next probably 3 or 4 years of his life, he would lean over to me and he'd go, "Mom, tell them the story about when I built the amphitheater," because he loved hearing me tell people that he was creative, and he had latched onto that like an identity. And I was like, it just really illuminated how powerful my words are and how calling out their gifts really resonates. And we have to be careful what we're calling out in our kids. Like, "You're such a jerk," you know, don't say that stuff. Be like, "Hey, you're a man of God, and how you're behaving is not appropriate to who you are," you know?
Right.
But anyway, so I call that out. But also, my kids are serving at church all the time. We're pastors, right? So they have no choice. But they're up there all the time. And so they've started serving in different ways. Sometimes they'll help clean out a room, or they'll help the youth pastor set up for this, or they help on the worship team, or they help in children's church. And so they're helping. And so I totally am affirming what you just said about serving together as a family. You know, we've never told them, "You have to." I mean, maybe a few times that we have, but for the most part, we let them, we go, "Hey, would you mind? So-and-so needs help, and we'd really like to help them out." And they do. They're like, "Sure, I'll do it." And so they're learning as they do this. Like, my musician children have developed their musical gifts by serving at church. If they hadn't been serving in youth group, I don't think they'd be nearly as talented as they are. And so it really is a prime opportunity to help your kids grow in and identify their gifts as well.
Absolutely.
So powerful. So how can people connect with you when it comes to maybe your podcast, your book, anything that you have available online? How can people connect with you?
Yeah. So you can go to kristenclark.org and you can learn about, this won't be a surprise, but I have a coaching ministry where I'm coaching church leaders and doing some consulting like that. So I'm getting to exercise my exhortation gifts.
Nice.
And I love it. It's so fun. That was the other thing too. I think the first time that I got to do like a consultation for a church, and I drove away and I was like, that was amazing. I felt like Buddy the Elf. Like, I was like, ah, you know, like, and I was like, okay, this is my lane. If I feel that much joy over helping another right. church or helping a staff, like, that was amazing. So, awesome. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing right now. And then if they want to find out about the podcast, there's links to that too, but it's called the Collide Kids Podcast. And I interview people about their job and the things that they're interested in, their natural abilities that have turned into how they serve the Lord in different ways, not just at church. There's been a veterinarian and a jet pilot and Olympic athletes and a firefighter. And so I get to interview different people about the things they love and how they use that to serve God and to grow in their faith. So it's That's a lot so cool. of fun. I hope you'll check it out with your family. I think you'll enjoy it.
I love watching your posts on social media because you always have such great posts that are like so humorous. And yes. And so her podcast actually is really energetic and funny. I feel like you've woven humor into your podcast really well, and how you Thank ask you. Your guests for like a joke, like tell us a yes. joke. She had me on her podcast once, and as I talked about wardrobe styling, right? Wasn't it fashion?
Yeah, it was about fashion. And I had a bunch of adults like, oh, I'm going to listen to this one.
Oh, really? That's funny. Yeah. Well, it was just funny. She's like, tell me a joke. And I was like, oh, crap. I need to go Google some dad jokes now. I was not so good at that part, but it's not my spiritual gift.
That's
but,
all right. That's all right.
Anyway, so you guys go check out Kristen Clark. And if your church is in need of some consultation, check out what she offers online and see what was over there. She may be a really great resource for you. And be watching. If you guys want to be watching for her book when it comes out, at the time of recording, we're not sure what the launch date will be for her book. And so you're going to want to get on her email list or check out, follow her on social media so that you stay in touch and you don't miss her book when it comes out. But Kristen, thanks for coming back on my show. It's so refreshing yeah. to have you.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. I'm glad I got to talk with you again.
Absolutely. So you guys make sure go check out in the show notes. I am constantly dumping resources in the show notes for you guys. In fact, YouTube even wouldn't publish one of my videos because I had too many links in the show notes. I'm like, whatever. And so there's a link down there for a spiritual gifts test. There's a link down there if you would like to, let's see, get a discount to my mastermind. If you'd like to coach with me as a podcaster, there's a link. There's links down there for all kinds of stuff. Freebies, I always throw them down there. So make sure and go look in the show notes and see if anything is appealing. And for sure, go down there and click Kristen's links and connect with her on social media. Make sure you're following on Instagram at Java with Jen. It's a great place for us to actually really stay in touch and connect. You guys can ask questions if you have ideas for podcast episodes. I take your ideas and I turn those into episodes. So connect with me over there at Java with Jen. Share this episode with a friend, especially any friends who have kids or are trying to grapple with what are my spiritual gifts. If you know someone who feels a little lost in life and they need to figure out, I don't know, what their purpose is or what they have to offer this world, send this episode to them as well. Otherwise, we will see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow me on Instagram at Java with Jen, where you can follow the latest and say hey. It's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have also asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through the Anchor app or on Patreon, or of course, by sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes as well. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds me why I do this. Also, don't miss our merch store where you can get super cool Java with Jen swag and coffee. Find it at javawithjenmerch.com. Until next time, remember, hearing God's voice is simple and He wants to be a part of your everyday life. See you next week.